I'm like, hey, Rachel, I really need to lose some weight. She's like, okay. So she makes a giant pan of homemade macaroni and cheese. I swear to God, it's the fattiest thing I've ever eaten. It was really good. And then makes me dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets. Oh, and beer.
To Rage Quit Radio. Sam has joined the channel.
What the f*** is with this guy?
Paula has joined the channel.
No! God, please, no! No!
Negative Apex has joined the channel.
How overpowered these pistols are!
Enemy pentakill.
They're capturing C! They're capturing C! They're capturing C!
They're capturing C! Oh my god, they're capturing C! Now we're gonna lose. This sucks. Welcome to Rage Quit Radio. I am your host, Lance, aka Sev, joined by my awesome co-hosts, Josh, Negative Apex, and Ian, aka Prowler. What's going on, guys?
It sounded like you said Naked Apex.
I heard that too.
It's fairly true since I'm nude right now.
I think you're okay with that, yeah. I mean, yeah. Couldn't we just call you that from now on anyway? I think
Naked Apex.
I'm cool. I mean, I always play games naked, so.
Well, then maybe you'll like one of the games that we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah.
Drunken Robot Pornography.
Oh, yeah, baby. Better than llama pornography.
Wait, wow. What? Okay, this just took a really dark turn.
Anyway. Wait, what? What?
Drunken Robot Pornography. This is a new game coming out that's on Steam, and I think you can also get it off the Humble Bundle. This is basically what described as first-person bullet hell drunken robot pornography. Yeah. You guys watched the video, right? We saw what this was like.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it basically seems like a puzzle game with, you know, boss fights. It also looks like you can create different robots. And for the record, I did not see anything in this video that even related to pornography.
It kind of looks like it would give anyone a epileptic seizure.
Yeah.
Like, just anyone.
Lots of colors and lights and lasers.
True,
tons of bullets.
Tons of bullets. I mean, so basically, this is... And there's a lot of drinking involved, obviously, because then it wouldn't be drunken robots. But I'm kind of confused. Like, what exactly would a drunken robot be like? Is it, like, Bender from Futurama? Is that
Bender?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
It. You guys, I had to look it up, because I didn't see it earlier when I was looking at the Humble Bundle. It's $12 right now on the Humble Bundle, so...
Okay, cool.
And it's in the actual store, not the Humble Bundle. So it's in the Humble store.
Right, so you can't get it for like 50 cents, basically, right now.
Yeah, it's by itself for $12.
Yeah, it looks like on Steam, the regular price, yeah, is $15, but it's discounted at a 20%, 12. And I'm guessing that's also for Steam.
Until February 26th.
So basically, you'll be leaping across 52 levels, dodging lethal laser beams and taking down titans, which is basically giant robot bosses. And if that wasn't enough, Drunken Robot Pornography's Steam Workshop is also packed with more than 100 titans, or I'm sorry, 300 titans and 100 maps. So from the trailer, I got that you could create, like, there was over 100 different types of Titan set, so you could create your own boss battles, I guess, is what I got from that, which seems pretty cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love games that implement the Steam Workshop, because it takes a game that can last you maybe 50 hours, and once you implement that Steam Workshop where you can download new content and new maps and new, you know, it's just like crazy stuff and reskin your game and all this, it adds so many more hours to any game.
Yeah, I have to completely agree. It's a really great invention. I'm really glad that Steam or Valve has been able to do that to a lot of different games. But moving on, Square Enix was interested in bringing more Final Fantasy to the PC. Ian, I know you and your wife are big Final Fantasy fans. What do you guys feel about this? Like, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think for her, she doesn't care. She's going to want to end up getting anything on the console. It's just the way she is. But I think it's great. Final Fantasy VII came on Steam not too long ago, and then they came out with Final Fantasy VIII, and of course Final Fantasy XIV, the MMO, is on there. So I personally think they're only doing it for more money. That's it.
I mean, but can you really blame them?
Nope. If they actually came out with a good game, then, you know, they wouldn't have this problem.
Well,
now, see, go ahead, Josh.
For me, as a PC gamer, like, I haven't owned any PlayStation since, like, the first PlayStation. I didn't own a PlayStation 2. I didn't own a PlayStation 3. And I haven't bought a PlayStation 4 yet, which is kind of, like, on my wish list, but I don't know if it'll happen. And, like, for Final Fantasy games to come to the PC would be awesome, because I've always wanted to play the franchise, but I've never really had a chance to. So if they start implementing Final Fantasy games to the PC, then that would be really cool, because it would allow major PC gamers like me to be able to play the series finally.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat with you on that. I've never actually really owned a PlayStation. So again, I've never been able to play a single Final Fantasy game. I've seen some of the movies, which I really enjoyed. But I've never actually been able to play any of them. And, I mean, like you said, the same thing. I think this is really cool because, I mean, even though, you know, I won't probably be able to play Final Fantasy VII or X, you know, the really, really good ones, I guess, I'll still be able to experience, you know, part of the Final Fantasy franchise. And I think that's a really good idea because, I mean, I'm the same way you are. I'm a really big PC fan, you know. So I think that's a really cool idea. I'm glad that they're, you know, branching out to, you know, a wider market.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the page or whatever Final Fantasy topic, just wanted to mention it. I was on IGN the other day and I came across an article about PC, them re-releasing it, you know, doing the graphics better and stuff like that. But it sounds like they're not going to do it because it's going to take too much money, I think is what they said.
I guess that makes sense.
So anybody that was kind of heard any rumors about a Final Fantasy VII remakes, it doesn't sound like it's going to happen anytime soon. So
I think if Final Fantasy XV bombs, which I don't think will happen, it looks jaw-dropping. If that were to bomb, I could see that being like a backup plan. Like, what do? We can't make good games anymore. Well, just remake the good ones we used to make. Then everybody be happy.
Speaking of PC games, Rational Games, they've made quite a few different cross-console games, so I guess I really shouldn't say PC games. But sad news, Irrational Games is about to have massive layoffs. So massive that they're cutting down to a small team of about 15 people. You know, being in the video game industry, this is something that basically happens. It's very hard to find a job, really no matter what you're doing in the video game industry, and expecting to stay there for a long period of time. Because you're there for the project, and when you're done with the project, you either move on to another project with the same company, or you're like, oh. Sometimes studios close down altogether. Unfortunately, that's basically, from what I got, is what's happening to Irrational. They're closing down altogether. Kevin Levine basically said that after the last piece of BioShock Infinite DLC, he's going to be moving on to a more entrepreneurial endeavor with a company called Take-Two, which I've never actually heard of. Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah, I just don't remember what they did.
Yeah.
Well, he's moving on with them, and basically he's taking a 15-man team there. He's basically saying that he's aiming to make more narrative-driven games for the core gamer and reward multiple playthroughs. That's actually kind of cool. I really like that. Because as a kid, you know, growing up, up until we got Xbox Live, what did we do to get the most out of our games? We played them over and over. Over and over and over and over and over. And we never got tired of them. I really like, you know, I'm really actually happy to hear that, because games like Bioshock Infinite, for example, absolutely amazing game. But would I play it two or three more times over? Not really. So that's like one of his endeavors that he wants to do. And there's a few other things, but what's y'all's takes on this?
Well, in an IGN interview, he said, he talks about his new goal, Trim Studio, as you already talked about, to make narrative-driven games, core gamers that are highly replayable, and to foster the most direct relationship with our fans possible, and we will focus exclusively on content delivered digitally. So basically, all of the games that he's going to be working on are going to be coming out on like Steam and stuff, all digital downloads. But it's sad for the studio itself, who made Bioshock. You know, they made really good games, but on a silver lining of this, that the game industry has like really come around. They've like, as soon as they heard about all, like, you know, 90% of layoffs, that's a lot of people out of their jobs, but a lot of game studios have like instantly started putting out, you know, applications and wanted ads to those people. So we may see different studios, you know, picking up some really talented individuals, you know, the same people that worked on Bioshock Infinite, but also we may see some new indie developed games coming out of it, where developers who have lost their jobs may decide, instead of signing on with another huge company, to start their own game. It's something we've seen in the past, and we've gotten a lot of good indie games out of it. So there's definitely a silver lining to it. It's sad, you know, to see such a big company, such a good company that have put out a lot of games, you know, go away. But I think there'll definitely be a lot of good talent going over to other developers, and we'll probably see some pretty cool indie games and ideas coming out of it.
Yeah, that's a really good point, 'cause that made me think of Guild Wars and League of Legends, because where did a lot of those developers come from? They came from Blizzard. Now, whether or not they were fired or they quit or whatever, these are people that had a really amazing game under their belt, and they're creating more games with that. Like, if that didn't happen, then we wouldn't have Guild Wars or League of Legends, or if we might have, it might have just taken longer. But yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. That does kind of give us high hopes for the fact that we might get some really cool games from some of these people in the future. Because, I mean, all I could think of when I heard about this was, crap, well, there's not going to be another sequel in store for Bioshock. Because, like, with the way Bioshock ended, I'm going to try not to give any spoilers away, but they basically had the opportunity to make, like, an unlimited amount of games after that, and for it to make sense. So it's really sad to not being able to continue that. You know, who knows, maybe we will, and some other time, maybe Ken will decide to pick it up with a new studio or try again. But all we can really hope for is that, you know, some of the people that are with the company or that got let go will be able to pick up with something else, something more enjoyable, more fun to play. But, you know, Ian, do you have any thoughts on the matter?
No, I've never played Bioshock Infinite, so I'm kind of like...
Well, have you played, like, Force or SWAT 4 or
nope.
System Shock?
Nope.
Wow, you are so gay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so, yep.
good contribution. Ian, that was pretty good.
I try.
Yeah, you try. Well, speaking of people leaving studios, we've basically just learned that Dean plans to step down as the lead designer for DayZ.
Guys, do we even want to talk about this? Because I am totally going to start raging.
Yeah, this is dumb.
I don't even know what to say or feel right now.
Because I know what to feel. I'm pissed. It makes me regret even buying DayZ standalone.
A little bit.
Yeah, I gotta agree with you there. I mean, it definitely feels like, wow, so you just took everyone's money for an unfinished game and now you're leaving? Wow. Dude.
Okay, so...
I mean, he is leaving in nine months, so... You know.
True, but several episodes we talked about DayZ when the standalone came out, and we're like, well, you know, I think Lance made a comment, was like, well, hopefully Dean doesn't take his money and run. And I was like, nah, dude, that's never going to happen. What the fuck? You know?
Yep.
For a guy that has pushed for this game so hard and done so much for it, just to be like, eh, I'm done with it. I want to go on to different crap. And he gave some weak but excuses for it too.
Well, let me say this.
Okay, go ahead.
He could have very valid reasons for leaving that maybe he doesn't want to say. He's said before he started working on standalone how restrictive that Arma engine is for his vision. You know, so they like rebuilt that engine, tried to make it better, but as we can see, it just doesn't work too well. So
I wish he would have quit though when he was ahead. Like, okay,
I'm gonna go off and make another studio and then make it.
See, yeah, well, I mean, it's like
that's what I thought was happening.
Well, like when they were having such a hard problem, like getting the AI to work and getting, you know, everything working on the Arma 2 engine, I'm like, well, why don't they just switch to the Arma 3 engine, or why don't they just create a new engine? And they were working so hard. I wish he would have just freaking, like, gave up on it, you know, several months back and just said, hey, we're going to do a different engine. You know, we're just going to build an engine from the ground up.
Or yeah.
And I'm not saying that's why. I'm just saying there could be multiple factors as to why he wants to go in his own direction.
If he had done that, I mean, though, if he had decided to just, like, given up, people would have hated him even more. For that, I think, because it would have taken even longer and people would have gotten disinterested in the game.
Yeah. And it,
I guess,
it's not to say that DayZ is going to fall apart or it's crap now. Nothing good is going to happen. It's going to be a horrible game. You know, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, look at Minecraft.
Yeah, that dude left and everything went okay.
Yeah, still a great game.
And he still said, like in the interview, that yeah, he's leaving at the end of the year, but he'll still be involved if he's needed. So I don't know.
See, I wonder who. See, kind of back to what you were talking about before. I thought originally he was not doing this with Bohemia. I thought he was making his own studio. I thought that's why every time.
Oh no!
Yeah, I thought that was why every time we saw like his video blogs, why there was only like three people working with him, you know, and to me that would have made more sense, but I guess maybe he just couldn't get the resources that he needed from going solo or independent. But basically, like, some of his reasonings that he's saying here are let me find one. He explained it's talking about, he's saying that he was originally intending to be around for 2014, but he claimed that it would be stupid not to, and it would be unfair to the community. So we can at least see that he's trying to be considerate. I mean, he realizes he's not stupid. He's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. And I'm sure he anticipated, you know, all this negative reaction. I mean, he's trying to do the right thing, but at the same time, I mean, it's kind of hard to blame somebody for wanting to do what they want with their lives, I guess, or continue on doing something different. But of course, the only thing that a lot of people are mad about is it seems like he's just taking our money and running.
Yeah, I mean, the standalone just came out a couple months ago. It's a completely unfinished game. And now he's leaving less than, you know, a year later to just not work on the game anymore. Yeah, which, I mean, like sure, yes, other people are going to be involved in, you know, Bohemia is not just going to let it, you know, die. I doubt. I don't know. Who knows what Bohemia will do. But, you know, it looks bad. It seems like it's going to be bad. And it's just kind of a downer. Because we all had really high hopes for when DayZ Standalone came out.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, you know, all this money they're getting, they're going to put into the game, it's going to get better. But
it
now...
It does have 1.5 million users. I don't see them just going, oh, well, we're not going to do crap with it now. They know it's going to make them money. There's no way they're going to toss it aside and not even try.
I mean, people are still...
I don't think it's going to really affect anything.
Yeah, people are still playing the game. Like, they're still going to continue to play the game. It's still going to continue to get better, but it just...
Every update, the game does get better. Like, bugs are fixed. You know, things are added. Things that aren't in the mod are getting added, you know. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, Oh, go ahead, Josh. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, like, I think maybe now he just finally realizes how crap the Arma 2 engine is as far as what he wants to do. Because, I mean, like, everything he talks about stuff just doesn't seem plausible with the Arma 2. I mean, you can still look at the zombie AI. It's complete trash still. And so much of the game is just not probably what he envisioned because of the Arma 2 engine. And so I just wish he would taken that, you know, and just done something with it 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago and realized that it wasn't going to work instead of wasting all the time and money trying to get an engine that still can make a great game but can't make the greatest game because of its limitations.
And see, he does kind of go in to knock the game. Says that later in the interview, Hall reveals that he has a number of other multiplayer games that he would like to work on, saying that sees DayZ as fundamentally flawed concept. It's not the perfect game, but of course, what game out there is perfect? He says it's not the multiplayer experience, and it never can be, with the absolute spark that I want in it. So I'm a little confused by the part where he says...
He could have said that 2 years ago.
Well, I'm a little...
saved us all some time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he probably didn't foresee... I mean, obviously he couldn't see the future and he couldn't tell what was going to happen with it. He probably thought that he could be able to do these things by now at this time, you know? But the part where he says it's not the multiplayer experience and it can never be... with the absolute spark that I want in it. I mean, I don't know exactly what his full vision is for this multiplayer experience, but I feel like DayZ is one of the few games that I think has such an amazing multiplayer experience. I mean, how many times have you, like, run into somebody that you found out played DayZ, and then, bam, you're instantly exchanging stories about your experiences with other players?
Yeah.
I mean,
$50. It's because everybody kills each other on site.
Well, yeah, there was no. There's. How can you fix that? You can't fix that because it's human nature.
Make all the bullets Nerf guns.
Fill all the guns with crayons.
Pew pew.
But yeah, I mean, I just don't see how his vision. I feel like his vision is something that's super realistic, super real, that probably will never happen for years, you know? And I feel like, dude, you should continue to work on this. You should continue to try to make it better. I mean, he's got so much money, so much resources right now to pretty much do whatever he wants. Is he getting impatient? Maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, the only good thing I can see out of this is that he says he wants to go on to do, you know, other multiplayer games. If we find out that he's working on a game, a new game, I think a lot of people are automatically going to be interested in it. I think a lot of people are going to be showing more caution with it, though, like as whether or not they're going to jump into it.
Yeah, sorry. I'm reading the comments, man. It's hilarious.
I know. I was going to look over that,
on the IGN. Dude, it's like, thanks for the bags of money from early access. Here's your clunky broken game. Bye. It's like every comment is like that. It's like, gave a broken game, got a truck full of cash. No strings attached.
This is something to think about where I see why he was trying to be nice and let everybody know, be transparent, be like, hey, I'm leaving at the end of the year. Not just at the end of the year being like, oh, hey, bye. But it's going to put really bad PR now on the game. Like, he could be killing the game by doing this. Just the simple fact that, oh, well, I'm not going to be that involved. I'm leaving at the end of the year to create something like DayZ, but better. That's bad.
Yeah, it's a trash situation, and I know obviously from reading from all the comments, everyone thinks it's a trash situation. They hate it, and like I can't blame the guy for wanting to go work on something else, but I can blame him for taking like 2 years of our life, promising us a game, putting out a game, having a bunch of people buy it, and then leaving. You know, you can blame him for that. But I'm not going to blame him for wanting to do something with his life. He should have made a decision 2 years ago before taking all of our money.
And see, I'm kind of like, yeah, I understand you want to go do something else, but at least finish the game first. Like, I got no problem with you taking off and leaving after, you know, the game is officially done. Like, whatever.
Problem is, it's probably going to take him like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more years. To technically finish the game, like,
but and you know they have like 50 people working on the mod. I mean, not the mod, but the standalone.
It's a small team.
A lot of people complaining, like, you know, they're not releasing stuff fast enough. My personal opinion: the little fixes are getting fixed every single patch. So it's not like the mod where everything was broken when it first came out. Everything.
Yeah, I mean, you still got to look at the fact that the DayZ standalone is still, it's still an enjoyable game.
Yeah, I love it.
You know, they have fixed a lot of things that was wrong with the mod, but, you know, it's just, it's not what was promised. And that's the core issue for me. It's not what was promised that was coming. But then again, actually, you know, I think now that I say that, I'm thinking about the Old Republic. A lot of things. Yeah. A lot of things were promised with the Old Republic that
never
came.
You mean
like a
video game? I'm just playing.
And like, I think about that, and I guess for me going forward, when I listen to other people talking about, or I'm sorry, other developers talking about what they're going to do with their game, I'm pretty much just going to be like, okay, I guess we'll just, you know, I'll believe it when I see it.
That's why I love playing betas these days, because mm-hmm. I can see what there is. Like, I hate going into a game that I've never played before, and, like, and buying it that's, you know, $60 for a game, and I don't know if it's going to be complete trash or not. I love playing that. Which, for me, like, these days, there's so many more open betas, or, like, really easy to get into betas, that it's nice, because you can, you know, play the game before you want to, you know, and decide if you want to buy it. Which, me and Lance just played Titanfall last weekend or last week or something like that.
Do you want to go ahead and talk about that now? I think we're pretty much
sure.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done with this. I mean, you know, just to close quick on
Dean Hall sucks. Daisy's gonna die. Everybody jump off a cliff.
I think keep an eye on DayZ, everybody. don't, you know, flush it down the toilet just yet.
Don't give up hope.
Yeah. We'll see where this game continues to go. He is going to still be on to the end of the year. We'll see what happens. But anyway, yeah, Titanfall. Dude, holy crap. The Titanfall beta came out over the course of like 4 days last weekend. And Negative Apex and I, Josh, we got to play that game. And I'm sure a lot of you guys did too. But for anybody that hasn't, we're just going to give you guys like a quick tidbit on basically what we experienced through it. Josh,
it was awesome. Yeah.
Tell us about your experience.
Okay, so I only got to play like 1 or 2 days of the beta, but it was awesome. And it's by the same people that make Call of Duty. And you know how much I trash on Call of Duty. All the time.
Yeah, all the time.
So it was made by the same people that made Titanfall. I was like, well, it's an open beta. I can download the game and delete it afterwards. You know, no biggie. But when I got in there and I started playing it, it was so much fun. The infantry combat does remind me of Call of Duty, but it's much better because there's a lot more vertical movement with the jump packs. You can jump on buildings, you can run on buildings, and stuff like that. But also, you get Titans, and Titans are such an integral part of the game. There's almost always one or two Titans that you have to worry about, if not four or five. And it's so fun. And like playing the game, there were so many different things I could do with my Titan. Like there was that one point where I was on this building and I was just, dude, I was like doing so well, getting so many kills with my assault rifle, just camping this building and shooting people. And I had my Titan up, so I summoned him and then I told him to guard my building. And so as I was killing people, my Titan was just sitting there guarding me and like shooting at people and, you know, keeping people from coming up behind me. And then when I finally ran out of bullets, I was like, well, crap, I'm out of ammo. Jump in my Titan and go play the rest of the game in my Titan. It was awesome, you know? And just being able, you know, you can like jump on friendly Titans and help out your buddies, or jump on enemy Titans and start like shooting the crap out of their Titan and trying to like blow open their hatches and stuff like that. It was really fun. The game never seemed like it was boring or desolate because, yes, it's only 6v6, but they add AI, and then plus each player can have a Titan, so it varies according to how many people are on the map, because you can have, like me, what I did it sometimes when I was, you know, I was fighting and my Titan was out, that's two more people, you and your Titan, or you can get in your Titan and that's just one more person. So it's like a 6v6, or it could be more depending on, you know, if you're in your Titan or not, but then there's a bunch of AI. And even though the AI aren't that hard, you do have to worry about them, especially the guys that are anti-Titan AI. They'll really, like, if you ignore them, start doing damage to your Titan. But they just add filler into the combat, and the map never really seems desolate.
Yeah, Titanfall definitely was a different take on first-person shooting and everything, at least for me, because you could jump in and out of, you know, your Titan from your, you know, pilot and then your Titan. The only other game that I felt like did that was Mech Assault Lone Wolf, I believe. But that was a little different. This is a lot more fast-paced. Obviously, that game came out, you know, like early 2000 for the original Xbox. And this game, basically, like, it is so fast-paced and fun that it gave me that same feeling that I had when I would, like, play, like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, like, the campaign. I felt like I was in a Michael Bay film. And to me, it was just, like, explosions going left and right. You're running with your teammates, you know. It's actually, one of the coolest moments in Titanfall was about three other players and I were actually on the ground taking out a Titan that was fighting another Titan. Like, we all pulled out our rocket launchers and locked onto him, and then our friendly Titan like boosts up to him and starts punching him. And I didn't even know you could do that. Awesome. There's another cool thing. I had no idea that you could engage in melee combat with the Titans. It's just a cool thing to watch. A lot of my enjoyment from this game was seeing things going on around me. I had a lot of fun with the actual first person mechanics and everything. It was I did feel that the AI was too easy. I mean, they would sometimes stand in front of you and just stand there. It was like shooting, you know, fish in a barrel. Which can be good and bad, because if you're terrible at first person shooters, you know, that's kind of the way that you can, you know, compete in the game and stay even with, you know, the other players. And if you're really good at the game, then of course it's no problem. Like, you can take out the other players and the AI, no problem. The other cool thing is everybody does get a Titan. So there are, you know, killstreak rewards, basically, but it's just the Titan, and all it does is it decreases the cooldown on your Titan. So everybody will get a Titan. If you cannot get any kills, like on anything, you'll still get one, but you'll probably get one towards the end of the match. It'll just take a really long time for you to get a Titan. So definitely go for those AI kills, because that just gives you the chance of getting your Titan quicker. And then, of course, the pilot kills decreases that time tremendously. One of my most favorite things in the game was actually when I got the Titan. Calling it down from the atmosphere was one of the coolest things I'd seen. Josh, I don't think you could agree with me on that. Like, you see it coming down from the sky, and your AI lady's like, "Titanfall incoming," and it just lands right in front of you, and it's just a cool feeling, and it grabs you and puts you right inside the cockpit, and you just go strolling off. I thought that was really, really cool. And
you reminded me, talking about the AI lady, that was something that really just, like, got to me.
She gave you info.
And it was useful info.
Yeah.
She would, like, I remember going down this alleyway, and I start getting shot at, and she's like, "You are being attacked by two Titans," or, like, multiple Titans or something like that. And I was like, "Oh, crap," because I didn't see only one. I only saw one. And so, like, she was giving you really, useful information, and it actually sounded like, you know, like a real AI, like someone that was actually useful to you. Like, a lot of games will put like an AI or, like, you know, somebody giving you information, but it's always useless crap. It's just something that's annoying. It's there. But, like, she really, like, I almost bonded with her, because she was, like, helping me. She was telling me information. She was telling me what was going on around me. And it was just really cool.
Yeah, that's basically what I was going to say. She gives you relevant information. The only game that I've ever played where the AI teammate was actually useful was Bioshock Infinite. I'm sure there was another one out there that I just can't think of it, but that one was really cool because she gave you resources. Shut up, Ian. We know you don't care. Stop. Yeah, so, Ian, what was your experience in the Titanfall beta? Oh, wait, you didn't get in.
Because you didn't sign up.
My fault.
Dude, one of my favorite moments was when I was in a Titan, and I didn't realize it at the time, but the other Titan was you. And, like, I got in a Titan, and I ran up on this other enemy Titan, and I just started bashing it. And my teammate was on the other side bashing him. So we were, like, just bashing him in between us. We had him sandwiched.
Yeah.
And I realized after the match, I was talking about it, and you're like, "Yeah, that was me. I was doing that." I was like, "That's so cool." We're, like, just beating the guy down in between two hawking Titans. It was great.
Yeah, that's great. And so, closing remarks on the game. Titanfall, personally, for me, I'm most likely going to buy it. I had a lot of fun. I wish there was a campaign to it, but I don't think I'll really care that much.
I so badly wish there was a campaign, because, like, the background, like, the info you get in the multiplayer and, like, the tooltips and stuff as you're loading in, it seems like it could be such a richly developed world. And I would love to have a campaign. Maybe it's something that if a lot of people want one, they'll do something in a DLC later. I could only hope. But yeah, for me, I'm totally going to get it. And it was like, that's another thing I loved about Titanfall, was because a lot of games that I have, I can only really, like, I only really want to play it with you guys or like with friends when they're on. And Titanfall seems like such a fun game to play. You can, like, it seems like it's so fun to either play by yourself, because a lot of when I was playing it was by myself and I was having like a lot of fun playing it alone. Or it seems like if you can get 3 or 4 or 5 teammates to play with you, that also seems like it would be really fun, because you could have a lot of like coordination and stuff. So I definitely want to buy it when it comes out. I give it a thumbs up. I know it's still in beta, but it looks really great.
Yeah. So Titanfall, thumbs up for both of us. Recommended. Rage Quit Radio. So Twitch.tv. If you're a fan of Pokemon, guess what? You can go play Pokemon on Twitch. Now, is this thing still going, Josh?
As far as I know, I checked it out a couple days ago. It's freaking hilarious. Anybody, I don't even know, there's not a whole lot to talk about it. If you want to check it out, it's www.twitch.tv/Twitch Plays Pokemon. That's Twitch Plays Pokemon. Like, you can like, everybody in the comments can control the Pokemon game that's being streamed with, like, chat commands, and it's crazy.
Yeah, I saw some of the footage, and it did look actually really funny to watch. If you know how to play the old Pokemon game, basically it's like if you type in left on the Twitch, the character will try, you know, take a step to the left. So when you have, like, thousands and thousands of people trying to make commands all simultaneously, I'm surprised the character didn't just, like, explode or just say, I give up. I mean, it sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's funny. It's hilarious. I tried doing it, and it's just... It's funny because people are trying to go one way, other people are trying to do other. In the battle, like, people were like trying to select items and trying to select, you know, attacks, and it was just hilarious.
And then, like, there was one point where people in the channel were actually trying to figure out how to work together. Like, people were trying to coordinate things to be like, okay, this is what we're gonna do, guys. But of course, you're always gonna have those idiots that just want to troll everything and mess everything up. So I wonder if this was supposed to be something permanent or if it was just supposed to be like a social experiment.
I don't know. A programmer did it. I think it's hilarious that he figured out how to do this. And he just posted it, and people have been doing it ever since. Check it out if you have some time to waste. It's pretty hilarious. It's a fun experience. Again, it's twitch.tv/Twitch Plays Pokemon.
So, The Order 1886. I saw the video footage of this for the first time last year at E3. What are your guys' take on this game? Like, do you guys think that this looks cool, or what? Do you think it looks weird?
It's going to make every console melt because it's so pretty.
Yeah, it does look really good. The only thing...
But what about the gameplay?
The only thing that attracts me...
Who cares? It's pretty. I don't care.
Yeah, that's like the only reason why he's interested in Evolve.
What?
But basically, it's like a Neo-Victorian alternate history story, which sounds so cool. And that's like really the only reason why I'm interested in it. It looks like you're any regular third-person shooter, but it's more like... Hey, you're gonna get this for the story, not so much the gameplay. The gameplay looked okay. Nothing really stood out. It's very beautiful, very beautiful. The weapons are really cool. I think at one point I even saw them using like an energy weapon, which it's like 1886. And how in the world are they able to do that? So it's really cool. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Thief? Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Thief. Dishonored. Yeah. The style and everything, it kind of reminded me of that. It looks like a really cool game. I'm not really 100% on what the story is about, other than...
Oh, it's about 1886. Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
oh.
Originally, that's the thing, though. Like, originally, it was, like, supposed to be, like, this, you know, fighting monster stuff and like this, but the video that the IGN guys were shown and the other people were shown was, like, them fighting other human beings. So they were like, well, you know, what's going on there? You know, did they take away, you know, those monsters that you were supposed to be fighting or what's up? But they were also talking about, like, weird inconsistencies in the, like, they have walkie-talkies, but they're still using the, what's the system called that you do the taps and it sends it on the wire?
Morse code, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't, is that the system that they send the
that's,
things on the wire?
That's the name of the language.
I guess, yes, it's Morse code. Yeah, I guess so. Anyways, they're using Morse code, but they had walkie-talkies, and I don't know. They were talking about some weird stuff like that. They were also talking about this game is supposed to launch in 2014, but the video that they showed, they still had like sharp transitions between scenes, audio issues, and lagging frame rates. So it worries me a little bit. But the game looks cool. I don't know if I'm going to jump out and like buy it right away. I'll probably wait for like some reviews to come out and check it out and wait.
Yeah.
They did say it looks gorgeous, which is what Ian was talking about. He's like getting all excited over there for the game.
I wonder what's going on. Excited. His seat. Yeah. Anyway, it's something that looks cool. I'll probably get it when it goes on sale. But I definitely want to play it, but probably not a day one buy for me. World of Warcraft. They're coming out with a new expansion here pretty soon. So
what?
Yeah, I know, another expansion. So
Warlords of Draenor.
One of the things that they are offering, supposedly, and this does seem like it is a glitch. It's that is the wrong link. There
a
we go.
Level 90 character boost.
Yeah, there we go.
It like popped up on the cash shop for like just a little bit, but it was like you can spend $60 to boost any character to level 90.
Yikes!
That seems a little really money. Stupid. I mean, I guess most of the people that are playing WoW aren't noobs, and you know, if you want a level 90 character and you want to start a new class. You know, I guess you can spend $60 on it. That's a lot of money to spend $60. But also, dude, like, what if, like, just some, you know, people that are picking up the game buy this boost? You know, then you have, like, people that don't know what's going on that are level 90 that you get grouped up with and they don't know how to play the game.
Yeah, and it does say that they're offering, they say that they're most likely going to offer people who buy the expansion of Warlords of Draenor that they're going to give them a instant boost to level 90, one instant boost to level 90. So it does seem a little odd that this would appear in the cash shop and then be like, hey, we can, you know, pre-order this for like probably around the same price of the expansion, and you know, you can instantly boost one, but I don't know. I mean, if you want to do it to multiple characters, maybe I can see the appeal.
Yeah, maybe it's for people that play it later. Like, I mean, it's really high price, but and I hate cash shops like this. But in World of Warcraft, where the level cap is going to be 100 pretty soon, you don't want to start a character from 0 to 100. Especially if you've already got a couple high-level characters, you don't want to do that grind over again. So I guess I kind of get it, but I hate cash shops like this. So this is a thumbdowns for me. Like, I don't like this. They need to, you know, offer another option, because I hate cash shops that allow you to have, like, OP boosts like this and crap like that.
And it's funny because I was looking at some of the comments on IGN. The very top comment made a really good point. It's like way back in the day of, you know, vanilla WoW, like you would pay Chinese farmers to level you to 60. Which I guess is probably why they put the cash shop in there. I mean, they know people want to do that, so it's like, hey, why don't you just pay us instead?
Yeah, now you're just paying Blizzard. They cuts out the middleman. Blizzard gets more money because they need it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can kind of agree with them, kind of can't, but I guess we'll see what happens. Anyway, our tech news. This is a new segment done by Mr. Prowler here. We don't really have a name for the segment, though. Kind of want to come up with a name.
Stuff.
What if
Sexy Mexican Time?
What if we called
Sexy
it
Sexy Mexican Time?
We could either call it Sexy Mexican Time or
Stuff I Can't Buy. I like that one better.
How about Let's Get Technical?
Oh my God.
Sexy Mexican Time. You're an idiot. Sexy Mexican Time.
Sex Mex.
Sex Mex.
No.
All right, guys, it's time for our new segment, Sex Mex. Go, Prowler. Right.
Anyway, I'm talking about stuff like hardware stuff, like computer components. At least this week, that's what I'm talking about. NVIDIA launched their GTX 750 Ti, which is like their budget graphics card. I think it's like $150. What's really weird is it is actually a new architecture through Maxwell, which is going to be like, you know, when the 800 series comes out, it will most likely be Maxwell. I don't know why they came out with it on 750 Ti. I'm not going to go into that. But it seems to be pretty nice. It's really small. Like, if you wanted to make like an HTPC or make yourself a little Steam box to play indie games on, you could definitely do that. The only thing is, it is $150. It's not going to play everything at 1080p max settings. Like, I don't know if you guys can see some of the benchmarks, but like Battlefield 4, it does slightly over 30 frames per second on ultra settings. And on DayZ, it's like 29. So
that's really funny.
Not that great.
That's not bad, though.
No, I mean, it's not
especially
bad
for a game like Battlefield 4.
Yeah, but the only thing about this card I don't like is AMD is going to be releasing their R7-265, whatever. I hate their stupid number and letter thing they have going on now. And it performs a lot better than this card. Like, sometimes 10 frames per second, sometimes more, depends on the game. And it's going to be around the same price point. It is going to be a slightly larger card. And the only benefit to the 750 Ti is the TDP is only 60 watts, whereas the R7-265 is 150. So if you're like on a budget, can't buy a big old power supply, just buy a 750 Ti. Anyway, one little side note or rant is the 265 is supposed to be $150 at launch, but every single AMD card has been price gouged thanks to like Bitcoin mining, cryptocurrency, all that crap. So all their cards are like $100 to $200 more. I think they had a 290X for like over $1,000 on Newegg, and it's a $500 card. So, yeah.
So it's basically like the retailer's fault. They're jacking up all the prices.
It is basically, but everybody's like, well, AMD has a shortage, so that's why. But if they can keep the price at 150 for the R7-265, that'd be great. Like, it will just blow this card out of the water. So, but like I said, with the way things have been going, it may not be that much. Like, probably a day after launch would be like $200. I don't know. And let's see, the other piece of news. NVIDIA released their GTX Titan Black Edition. So if you have a grand in your pocket, that you want to blow on a graphics card, there you go. Or you could buy me one with a computer.
What's the specs like on it? Is it worth huge. A grand?
It's huge. Like, actually, I don't know what the specs are. Hold on. I know it's got 6 gigs of GDDR5, which the original Titan had. I think it's just clocked faster than the old Titan, in my personal opinion. Yeah, I think it's just clocked more and has more crap. So, I just wanted to mention it because it's really expensive and really awesome. We'll play anything you want on max settings and quadruple monitors. So, go buy one.
Sweet.
Cool. Yeah.
There you go.
That's always good to know. I mean, we got anyone trying to do budget, you know, gaming. This is the place where you need to go to or listen.
Yeah, that's 7050. Yeah, 750 Ti GTX sounds pretty good.
No, budget gaming, just buy the card, the Titan card, and you can just stare at it.
Alrighty. Josh, you ready for your segment?
Yeah, I'm ready for my quickie. I like it, doing it every week. Am I good?
When you're ready.
I'm going? Yeah. All right, I'm going. All right, well, a new procedurally generated horror game will be coming out called Daylight. Its release date is April 8th. It'll be coming out on the PS4 and PC. Cool option is that PC users will be able to use their Oculus Rift if you dare. Sony has sold over 5 million PS4s, which already reaches their deadline or their goal, which they set for March. On that note, PS4s continue to sell out, as Sony was unprepared for how successful the console would be. It will continue to be hard to find a console until around April, is Sony's best guess. Differences in the hardware for the PS4 and the Xbox One continue to show, as Thief is running at 1080p on the PS4, but only 900p on Xbox One. Metal Gear Solid Ground Zero will run at 1080p for the PS4, while Xbox One can only manage 720p. Titanfall may have a future in the esports community, as Abby Hepp, community manager at Respawn, was quoted as saying, "We have had a ton of interest from the esports community, and I know we're not going to be shipping with all the features that they're going to be wanting in the game," but she goes on to say, "We will be focusing on a solid foundation for now, and we'll look into esports features later on." A new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater game is in development, and Activision has confirmed its involvement. The most recent Xbox One patch has caused a bug, causing some users to see a black screen on startup. Xbox One's team tweeted, "A fix to the problem is you can try holding down the power button for about 10 seconds. They're already working on a more permanent fix." And that's my quickie.
Cool. That's a lot of good information there. Man, that's like the most you've had in a while.
I couldn't resist. Sorry.
Well, because PS4 continues to outshine the Xbox, yeah, I'd say return it and get a PS4.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just touch on a little bit on the LCS standings, North American LCS standings. I'm just going to say the standings real quick. Team SoloMid is in first place. Cloud9 HyperX is in second place. CounterLogic Gaming is in third place. Team Dignitas is in fourth, followed by Evil Geniuses in fifth place, Curse Gaming in sixth place, and very last, Team Coast is seventh place, and then very last, in eighth place, is XDG. So those are your current standings for the North American LCS, and hopefully next time I'll be able to touch on a little bit more on what's going on with LOL Esports. Well, thanks for listening to our show, everyone. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We had a lot going on this week, and we hope to bring you guys more news in the future and just keep on tuning back in. But if you guys want to follow us, you can follow us on Twitter at MLR Rage Quit. You can follow us on Facebook at Rage Quit Radio. And you can follow us on Twitch TV if you like to watch us stream video games throughout the week. And that is /RageQuitRadio. Again, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week. And stay tuned for Hippo Juice.